Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and our focus this morning is on verse 12. We'll be finishing out this section next week. Paul writing to the believers in the city of Colossae because of a specific problem. False teachers had come in to the assembly of believers, spreading the message that Jesus Christ was not enough, that you must believe in Jesus and keep the law, believe in Jesus and keep the feasts, believe in Jesus and keep the Sabbath day, that what Jesus did for us on the cross in his fulfillment was not enough. That's false teaching. It's prevalent today as well. It's called Jesus and doctrines. It's Jesus plus something else. Two points that he makes in the letter. Number one, that in Jesus Christ was all of the Godhead in bodily form. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all were in Jesus. He was complete. But then he goes on to say, since you have Jesus in you, you are complete. We have all of God. We have all that Jesus has done for us. We are complete. Therefore, we do not have need of anything further for the forgiveness for our sins, nor to make us right with God. Just through the finished work of Jesus Christ and him alone. But before he gets to the main emphasis of the letter, he introduces himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, mainly because he had never met these folks before. Epaphras had come to him, traveled about 1,000 miles to reach him to tell him of this doctrinal problem that's circulating through the church. Before Paul corrects the doctrine, which for some people they might be offended by, maybe some people within the assembly in Colossae believe these false teachings, he first tells them in his prayer in verses 3 to 8 that he thanks God for them because they are bearing the fruit of God's Spirit, proving that they're saved. They have faith in Christ Jesus and they have agape love toward all the saints. That is a fruit of God's Spirit. He's also thankful on account of the hope that is laid up for them in heaven when they go to be with him. But in verses 9 to 14, our focus is on specific petitions that he is making for them about their growth. And by the way, before he introduces the correct doctrine and get into details about the correct doctrine of Jesus Christ, he first tells them the trail that they have to go down. It is important that we all be continually participating in the spiritual growth process in order to learn the truth and to know the truth so that we are not swayed by false doctrine. So that is his petition first. The cause of his petition on account of this, that is what Epaphras has told us. We ourselves also, from which day we've heard it, we do not cease praying on behalf of you and requesting the purpose in order that you might be filled with the complete knowledge of his will that is found in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you be filled with the full knowledge of his will. They were being told that they are not in God's will because they believe in Jesus, but they're not keeping the law or the feasts or the Sabbath day. So he says, you come to know the whole picture and the complete knowledge. In the Old Testament, interesting, God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The biggest problem for the believer is just not knowing, not understanding. Having never studied the Word, having never studied all of the Word, in order to know what it says, to have the complete knowledge of His will. The conduct in this petition, that you should walk worthily of the Lord in all pleasing. That is what pleases Him is the motive. But it's interesting that you might walk worthily of the Lord. The word worthily is this word for the balance scales down in the marketplace, where you put the item that you want to buy on one side and it tips the scale. You put money on the other side, it evens out the scale. And when the balances are even, then you have the purchase price for the item that you want to buy. And so what he's saying is that since you are believers, you profess to be believers, you have the fruit of the God's Spirit in your life, there are four participles that describe the continuous ongoing process of God's Spirit in the life of the believer. This is what I said last Monday night, though it be a human example, at least it gets the point across. If the scriptures were to say, this is hypothetical, I don't want any of you to go out there and say, well, you know what Pastor Bill says. But if the scriptures were to say that once you receive Jesus Christ, you automatically, in the human, become 6'5". And that is the proof that you're saved. And someone were to come along and say, but I'm only 5'10", but I think I'm a Christian. No, the Bible says you have to be 6'5". If you're 6'5", you have Christ dwelling in you. If you're not 6'5", you do not have Christ dwelling in you. You can believe all you want to, but you must have Christ dwelling in you to be saved. Not just belief. Well, what he's saying here is here are four characteristics of the continuous moving of God's Spirit in a believer's life. Now, some of you might say, well, whatever God's Word says is the proof or evidence that someone's saved, I don't always live up to that. Well, there's where the relationship comes into play between us and Him. If He leads us in a certain direction and we rebel against it, sometimes He lets us rebel. But that doesn't release His drawing from us. In fact, He lets us go our own way, but He keeps drawing us, and so now we're all of a sudden in a tug of war. And God teaches us. As long as He is continuously drawing us down these paths that He says is evidence of a believer, that is the evidence in a believer's life. He might allow us to rebel against it or to not want to do it or whatever the case may be, but He doesn't allow us to continuously get away with it. He causes a lot of grief. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's what God does in the life of the believer to get them back on the path that He would have them to do, at least in our decision-making processes. But there are four things that make a person worthily of the Lord. That is, if you say you're saved, then here are the four things of continuous process that God is going to be doing, God's Spirit's going to be doing in your life. He says, first of all, bearing fruit in all good work. Bearing fruit is a present participle that denotes continuous process, continuous unbroken process. Jesus said in John chapter 15 that without Me you cannot do one thing. And all of those who abide in Me and I in them are bearing much fruit. It's a fact. not should bear fruit, making it a challenge, but it's a statement of fact. If we have the life of Christ in us, his life is going to be active. That's just factual statement. But bearing fruit in every good work, the word for good means a designation for the work that is of God. Secondly, and growing into the complete knowledge of God. Growing is a present participle. Continually growing into the complete knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says that we should not be functioning like the world, but rather we should be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 31, that I keep mentioning, this is one of those proof texts, one of those texts of evidence. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, they already believed and they were following him, but he turned and told them, here's this whole group of people, if you are my genuine disciples, you will continue in my word, period. He wasn't challenging them. It was a statement of fact. God's Spirit in them will continually be driving them to the Word of God. It will not be a human effort, but something God is doing. Why? Because it's His desire and design that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can't do that. God's Spirit draws us. God's Spirit motivates us and draws us by his Spirit. Continually growing into the complete knowledge. Not so you just know a book or a chapter or a verse, but you understand the whole counsel of God. Thirdly, verse 11, being empowered. Again, that's a present participle. Being continually empowered in all power. The source, location, is the power of God. This is according to the grip of his glory. That's the literal translation, meaning God has a grip on us. That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be empowered by the Lord and the grip of his strength. Now, the more God's grip is on us and the strength of that grip, the more we can relax. That's our whole problem. Is that once I start struggling and fighting, I'm actually wiggling, trying to wiggle free from his grip, which will never happen. He'll never allow that to happen. But most of the time we're fighting against him rather than just to be still and to know that he's God and to be empowered in his power. So according to the grip of his glory, the purpose for it is for all endurance and long-suffering with joy. Endurance means to remain under, and it has to do with circumstances. Long-suffering is slow in human reaction towards others. So to be empowered by his grip is for the purpose of remaining under the situations and circumstances that the Lord has us in. His power will sustain us. His grip, the power of God through his grip, will sustain us for remaining under and for slow in human reaction. Why does God do this for endurance? Is because remaining under circumstances teaches us to trust him and teaches us to experience him. That's what they're for. And this is all to be done with joy. Joy in the Greek text means satisfaction. It's not an emotion. It's not a human emotion. It doesn't mean happiness. It means satisfaction. So as we left off last week, we told you that there's an old saying in sports that says it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game that counts. Good sports. Well, it's not just whether we endure or long suffer or not, but how we do it. We can say, well, I'm obeying the Lord, and be all complaining and grumbling about it, all expressing anger over what God makes us endure and makes us trust him for. We're supposed to do it with satisfaction because we're experiencing Christ and we're experiencing his will for our lives. Which brings us to number four in verse 12. very important. Giving thanks to the Father. The term giving thanks in the Greek text is another present participle. Continually giving thanks to the Father. Unbroken thanksgiving. First, let me give you a definition of the word for thanksgiving in Greek, eucharisteo. It's made up of a prefix. It's an adverb "you" that means to do something well. And charisteo, you can hear grace in there, charis, charisteo. To have a favorable response to grace is what thanksgiving means. Now, spiritually speaking, giving thanks to God is a favorable response to His grace. Just like John said in 1 John chapter 4, is we love Him because He first loved us. Loving Him is a response to His love. It's not originated with us. Thanksgiving isn't something that we practice in the human. Thanksgiving is a response to God's grace. And this is to be continuous. But how do we do that if it's not a human practice? And why do we do it? Well, we know in part from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we're told, be anxious for not one thing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So be not anxious. That's our word merimna that has to do with occupation of the attention of the mind. Don't allow things to allow the attention of your mind to be occupied with all of these different distractions. That is Satan's only weapon against a believer. Once Christ saves me, He now, from inside, He wants to renew my mind. So if Satan can keep my mind busy with other things, that I'm taken away from the designed ministry of God through His word for my life. Satan's only weapon. He can't take my soul. I belong to Christ. Christ dwells within. But the Lord says we've got to do damage control. Because of the effects of sin upon my life, it's a lifetime process of God's Spirit ministering through His word, renewing my mind, healing me from the experiences and the effects of sin, the old sin in the past, but also renewing me for me to see His purposes and His will and to know His ways. So it's a continuous lifetime process and path that we are on. And so He says, don't be anxious for anything, but give it to the Lord in prayer. Don't hold on to it. Worry is another translation of this word. Anxiety is another translation of this word. It's things that we just get, our attention just gets occupied with it all the time. And it snowballs on us, and then it takes us over. The answer is, give it to the Lord. Entrust it to Him. Let Him work it out according to His will in His way. It's like a hot potato. Get rid of it or you're going to get burned. Somebody's listening. But we are to do this prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Oh, I got to throw that in there. You know, okay, well, if somebody say, well, you're still anxious and worried. Well, I prayed about it. Nothing happened and that didn't work. Did you do it with thanksgiving? Oh, I forgot that. It's not a formula. With thanksgiving, it means I'm expressing gratitude to the Lord because in His grace, He'll take care of it. He takes it right off of me. I can give it to Him. So I'm thankful He's there. I'm thankful He does this for me. I'm thankful that He's in charge. No matter what the situation is. See, in the human, I'm not always thankful. In the human, I have responses like, oh no. not this again. Or, I don't need this right now. Or, here's another difficulty that's causing distraction. But thanks be to God, I can commit it to Him and give it to Him. And trust Him to work it out according to His will and according to His way. And when you realize that, it causes thanksgiving. His grace is there. Hebrews chapter 4 says that God has made it so that we can approach the throne of grace in time of need to receive all the grace that we need, all the favor and mercy and blessing that we need to get through anything that God has planned for us. That causes thanksgiving. It's like you're relieved. It's thanks for the relief that God gives when we trust Him with these things, giving thanks to the Father continuously. Do you know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks. That's not just a practice. That's not a religious mental practice, what we call mental gymnastics. It's not something I practice to get my mind in a better frame because I'm under stress. But giving thanks for all things recognizes that God is in charge. I'm experiencing what God's will is for my life, for me to go through right now or today. And He's already has the answer to it. He's the answer. So He designed the problem. He's got the answer. I'm just involved in the process. Okay, here's what you've dumped on me here. And what is your design and will for my life? And it's for me to, through prayer, to entrust you with it. And to thank you for it because you're there to relieve me. Again, Hebrews chapter 4 says that we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses, but rather He says, come confidently to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. So it's there for us to come and receive and rely on God's grace and to experience God's grace. When we experience God's grace, there's a response to God's grace. The relief that's there, it gives thanks to God for the grace that He gives to us. But it is interesting, there's a statement in verse 12 that we want to take before we leave this verse. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has done one of a couple of things for us, but for today, who has made us sufficient for the portion of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The word sufficient, that's exactly what it means. He makes us sufficient. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Those who He has made sufficient in the light. God has qualified me. I am a partaker. The Bible says that I am partake of the things of Christ. I am co-inheritors with Christ. All that is of Christ and all that belongs to Him is now belongs to me and is part of my relationship with Him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, is the blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the spirit realm. Every spiritual blessing is ours, which is why Satan tries to keep us in the human and keep us sensitive to the human nature responding to the physical life around us, is because in the spirit, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have the full inheritance that's available to us right now in Christ Jesus, and it was God the Father who made us sufficient and qualified. Nothing that we did. when we understand these things, this is part of the complete knowledge. This is part of the whole picture. Is after we have our human reactions to life, it's allowing God's Spirit to minister to us and to show us that we are partakers of the inheritance with the saints. And God has made us sufficient and qualified to partake of that inheritance, and He is to be thanked for that. When we experience His grace, we respond in grace. We give Him thanks. When grace has a favorable response to it, grace has a favorable reaction, and you say, well, I'm a believer, but I don't always experience the grace of God. Sometimes I just feel like I'm left in my human weaknesses with the influence of the human nature, and there's no grace of God at all, or else I would give thanks. But just like we studied the first hour, grace doesn't always come automatically. He waits for us to come on our knees before Him, confessing the realization of our sins and our weaknesses, the realization of our need of His grace and His mercy. And when He pours out His grace and mercy upon us, and this is the whole point of it, it's not like it's an automatic inheritance, here you go, every step of the way, but it's to cause us to stop and have a response and a relationship with Him. See how it can become very automatic? Well, I have the inheritance and I have all of God's grace available to me, no problem. I experience it all the time without a hitch. We just go on our merry way and we don't have a response and relationship to the Lord. The Lord wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to be taken for granted. And so just like the Israelites, as we studied the first hour, spiritually deaf and spiritually blind to the things of God, they would not listen. They would not obey His laws. They would not take it to heart when God brought punishment to them. They did not come to a conclusion. Well, this is because of our sin. It just caused them to dig deeper into their rebellion against God, blame everything for Him and on Him. And yet God, always willing to pour out His grace and sufficiency upon us, remember that God has already qualified us. It's not like we have to be qualified all over again. We're qualified through what the Father has done. Well, why don't I experience God's grace then? Well, why don't you come to Him? Why don't you confess your need of His grace? Why don't you confess to Him your sins and your weaknesses and your total dependence upon Him and allow Him to pour out His grace and mercy? See, it's relationship. It's relationship. Next week, we continue on to study the conversion in the petition. We're going to study salvation next week. How God has made us sufficient and qualified. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again. We love to just bask in Your Spirit through Your Word and Your ministry of mercy and grace upon us, revealing to us and reminding us of the sufficiency that You have made for us, and that You have qualified us and made us sufficient to partake of all of the inheritance, all of the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And that You desire to just pour out Your grace and mercy upon us. But we too need to learn relationship. Sometimes we feel like we're left, like the Israelites felt out in the desert alone, that You have abandoned us we're stuck in our human nature and our human condition. But in reality, You want to hear from us. You want us to call out to You. You want us to confess our sins, and You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as John said. And so we pray that you'd help us to teach, to learn these teachings, that we will come to the complete knowledge of your will for our lives, and that we too will enter into this continuous outpouring of your Spirit to continuously be giving thanks to you, for this is the will of God for our lives. We just thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.